You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? Okay, if there are no announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Okay, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And Father God, we pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, I trust you're ready for another Sunday. I prepared something for you, so hopefully it's to your blessing. And we're going to talk today about a good foundation. Let's open up with prayer. Father God, we thank you that the Word of God is complete and has been given to us. And many people have died in order that we might receive this Word of God. And we hopefully study it to your glory and to be approved in your sight. And we appreciate all that you've done for us, the calling that we have in you with the inheritance and the special blessing we have in Christ Jesus. For in him we have received all the forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. And we have no greater foundation than that of Christ Jesus. And right now we're with him in the heavenlies far above, all principalities and powers. And at present we're here in a bodily form here on the earth as ambassadors for Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We pray that our ambassadorship is handled accurately and people would look at us and see the hope of the glory that's in us with meekness and fear, Lord, especially the blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. So now this lesson is on the good foundation, and we pray that it's to your pleasing and to your purpose. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Well, there are many lessons from history that show at any time, anywhere, calamity can strike. Now, usually it strikes when everything's going just fine. Everything's hunky-dory. And all of a sudden, boom, tragedy occurs. Maybe it's the fact that your football team didn't win. That's tragedy. Maybe it's the fact that, you're wearing the same clothes as somebody else is at a party. How tragic is that? But the Lord gives us in Scripture some references about having a good foundation. And previously, in the study that Derek is going through on our calling in Scripture, he had looked at the foundation. Now, the foundation we looked at was the foundation of the world. And we looked at the occurrences of that passage with the words before the foundation of the world and since or from the foundation of the world. And we looked at various truths that are associated with the time frame given before the foundation of the world and the truths that are associated with from or since the foundation of the world. But for our purposes today, we're going to talk about a foundation, meaning the very body of rock that you built your faith upon. So when calamity hits, you are standing sure, not as somebody that has built their foundation on a sand. Now, Scripture talks about that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says there, Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I liken them unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. God has really provided us a way to build a foundation that's sure, one that's built on Christ Jesus. It's up to the Christian to prepare for good and bad times. You know, the Apostle Paul was probably somebody that exemplifies the highs and lows of Christian walk. Before he really became a Christian, he was really on the high. You know, he had so many great things. He was going around providing justice from the chief scribes and Pharisees and dishing his justice out to those Christians like Stephen in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen gave a great testimony, and people were so upset with that testimony they decided to stone him to death. And Saul was approving under that discipline that was imposed on Stephen, so he was consenting unto his death. In Philippians, our scripture reading today, we see here that Paul, he said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now, I wonder what state he's in. Was it Oklahoma? Was it Texas? How about the good state of California? What about New York? No, he wasn't in that state. He was in a certain state of mind that he was to be content. Now, I'm sure that was an easy thing for him to do, wasn't it? He says, "I know how to be abased and I know how abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry." Now, what's interesting about that is I'm really good at that full part, but I haven't quite figured out how to be that hungry part yet. Obviously, I'm a man of big stature, so I've been blessed with the full side of the equation here. But I'm sure I will learn how to be hungry as well, both to abound and to suffer need. We went to a 75th birthday party for a mother of one of the group that we hang around with. And, you know, I often thought about 75. You know, we went to a 75 birthday party. And we showed up, and, you know, here we are, the young group. And, you know, everybody was, you know, having a good time seeing each other. We don't see each other as much as we used to. And we were sitting here saying, "Well, we thought, you know, this mom really looked pretty good at 75. And somebody else said, no, she kind of looks old. She's, you know, leaning. And, you know, I read an article in the paper about what's old to you. It's anywhere, anybody that's 20 years older than you, that's old. So for us, we are now like mid-40s. So anybody 65 or above, that's really old. But unfortunately, the people at some other table where we thought we were the young group, they were ones that were perceiving us as old. I thought maybe I ought to go over there and take a picture and say, "Okay, we usually are the young group, but now we're the middle-aged group because of you. You need to leave, you know?" So we were talking about the music at the party, and one of the younger folk had put together some music for his grandma, and said that grandma really liked listening to that really old music. And he had a certain name for it, that those tunes in that iPod, which I can't repeat, but basically the grandma liked listening to that old music. So when you're a Christian and you're like this here, the Apostle Paul, when you are instructed to both be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, no matter what condition you're up, whether you feel old or young, whether you feel you have all the power in the world, all the money in the world, whether you think you're broke, you have no power, to God it just doesn't matter. No matter what state you're in, therewith be content. You should have that straight line which is in Christ Jesus. Now, how are you to spiritually build your foundation so you may stand no matter what happens in your journey through life. Is it wisdom? You know, there's a variety show now on TV. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Now, you know, often I think, well, sure, I'm smarter than a fifth grader. Everybody's that way. But I start watching that show, and they ask questions that I may have known back in fifth grade, but it's been a long time since I've heard that question. So at this point in time, I don't think I'm up to fifth grade academics to be on that show. Now, of course, my wife, she's always getting those shows right, so I'm always wanting to be on her team. So, you know, she's really good at, you know, things like trivia and Trivial Pursuit, and I'm really bad at those games. So if you ever want to play something with that, with the champions, you need to have her on your team. So, is it might? You know, is it the weight room? Should I go to working out and, you know, basically have the physique of Unitas or a really strong presence? So when I walk in a room, somebody goes, wow, look at the V on him. I mean, he's really got that V. Right now, I walk in a room and say, look at that inner tube he's got around his midsection. Surely he will float. What about money? Is it, you know, when I walk in the room, I have these jewels, I have a, you know, one time I thought growing up it would be absolutely perfect to have a little Rolex on the armband. So when you walk in the room, you got to go, hey guys, what's going on? Show off that Rolex and have it gleam in the flashlight. And somebody might think, man, he must have a lot of money. Well, it's funny. I've often gone into the jewelry store, B.C. Clark. And I've often looked at those Rolexes. And instead of buying a Rolex, I buy jewelry for my wife. So I've learned how to be abased and how to abound people. Well, I often thought about, surely I deserve that Rolex. So I walked over there and looked at the Rolex. And, you know, Rolex starts like about $5,000. That's just a starting point. And, you know, 20 years ago, that was a lot of money. And, you know, sure enough, it still is, but, you know, I could buy that. But I thought to myself, Rolex, you know, it just doesn't have the luster it used to have. You know, growing up, at the same time when I thought that Rolex was really cool, I thought, man, a Rolex and a Jaguar, that would be it, you know. And often we'd go around and see a Jaguar and say, man, that's a pretty car. So I went to the Jaguar dealership and sat in one, and it just didn't feel right. Now, because I'm a big guy, those cars are built for little people, little rich people with Rolexes. And I'm just not one of those people. Give me a Suburban, man. So in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, it says, thus saith the Lord God, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord God, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. There are plenty of strong people, smart people, people with money. But the Lord says, throw those all away. Let them glorify in me, who exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. So we should set our affections on loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, that we might please the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, to charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may hold on to eternal life. There's that good foundation we were talking about. Now, you know, it's centered about 1 Timothy there. Verse 17 says, charge them that are rich in this world. So, being rich isn't a sin. Having money is not a sin. Now, the pursuit of richness or the pursuit of money is a sin. If you love money greater than the Lord, that's where you're getting off track. Well, as you know, we have shared some fellowship with the Open Bible Trust, Mike Penny, who has come and visited us at this church, and he has a website called the obt.org, which I encourage you to go visit. And he has a book that basically is called This We Believe, which is the basis of the foundation of the Open Bible Trust, which is pretty much the group that he and a bunch of people have started. And they're constantly putting out scriptures or writings from a right division standpoint. And they're very active in that standpoint. So our calling has been more to the web ministry and dealing with audio lessons that way. And they have pretty much stayed the course of putting out new writings for the OBT. Well, in his book, This We Believe, he basically had a section of there are three primary categories of fundamental truths. Evangelical fundamental truth, or an evangelical foundation, fundamental foundation, and dispensational foundation. And within those three categories, he said, with the evangelical, they certainly believe in the deity of Christ. And the second thing is they understand the all-sufficiency of Christ's sacrifice. So that means there's nothing else you must do. Christ has done it all. All you need to do is accept Christ as your Savior. And once you receive Him, you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and are identified with the body of Christ. So you then are with Him in the heavenlies, far above all principality and powers. So the most important thing is the evangelical foundation, that you may become a saved Christian individual. Now, once you become saved, what do you do then? Now, with certain denominations, you go around, once you're saved, you go around saving other people. So you're constantly going through this act of salvation. And some of those in the denomination have a fear of losing their salvation. So the most important step to take next is to build up your foundation of fundamental truths in Scripture. Well, part of those truths are the Word of God is inspired. This Bible that's been given to us is the inspired Word of God. God inspired man to write His words, and it has been brought together in this book for our purpose and our learning. Second thing is, we are called unto good works. Now, are those good works for salvation? No. Once you're saved, you're always saved. We're called unto good works after salvation, so we might build up those good works to build the body of Christ. Now, how do you grow the faith in this fundamental foundation? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith doesn't come by experience. Your faith doesn't come by some miracle. Your faith comes by reading the Word of God and fellowship with other Christians, and it builds up your faith, which is most holy. And fourth, Scripture is the final authority. Basically, the Word of God is the Word of God. There's no higher authority than what God says. So, if you have somebody touting some particular opinion, what does the Word of God say about that topic. And if you look at it rightly divided, what does that topic handle from a scriptural point of view, rightly divided? And if you have a concern about understanding, you compare scripture with scripture. Basically, in the end, scripture is the final authority. Now, from a dispensational foundation, we're supposed to handle the Word of God accurately. That's pretty much the premise of right division, handling the Word of God accurately. You know, if you don't handle it accurately, you know, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, a two-edged sword is pretty sharp. So, if you try and wield it, you probably will cut yourself. And if you do, you pretty much try and heal yourself from that cut, and you start over and you wield it better next time. The fact of handling the Word of God accurately, you know, at the football game last Friday at Christian Heritage Academy, it was a homecoming, and we played a really good team. It was a Lincoln Christian, and they were out of Tulsa, so we played them at their field in Tulsa. And this year they came down to play us and ours. And Larry Bird, he's a famous NFL guy who went to Tulsa. He was one of the coaches over there, so he brought a lot of money to their school. So they have much better facilities than we do. Dennis Bird?
Larry.
I said Larry Bird? Larry Bird's a basketball player. Dennis Bird. He's of the Bird clan, you know. So... you know, it was a great time because, you know, I was able to take great pictures out the field, all the kings and queens of homecoming. And, of course, you know, the fact that the OU game was on TV, it was great because I was able to set up my TiVo to record the game. And sure enough, if I could get through this homecoming and go home, it would have been great because I had TiVo laid out in front of me. And you know what? My phone rang. And somebody blurted out the score before they said anything. So, Mr. Scott Curry, thank you for that blessing. But basically, being at this game, I was able to meet Mr. Green in the skybox. I was up there taking pictures. And Mr. Green is new this year to CHA, and he teaches Bible to our students. So at halftime, I was able to, hey, Mr. Green, I'm Bill Champion. You teach my son Carter. I'm curious, what curriculum do you teach in Bible at CHA? And further, what Bible do you teach out of? You know, is it King James and NIV and et cetera, et cetera? So I was very inquisitive. So with my inquiry, I said, you know, I'm asking because there's obviously many things you could teach in Bible, but there are, you know, evangelical fundamentals that you could teach. There are fundamental things that you get into, and there are dispensational things you can get into. And usually they pretty much go in that order. So he said, well, it was really great. He really enjoyed teaching at CHA, and he inherited all his curriculum from the previous teacher. And he was glad to do that because... He said, of course, you know, the Bible can be really overwhelming if you try to teach too much to the kids. So I was glad to hear that he believed in certainly the fundamental and really getting into Scripture and to have the kids memorize Scripture. So I think they're on a pretty good track there. But certainly the dispensational things didn't come up at all. But, you know, there's a chance for me to continue my speaking with him and introduce him to those things. But when we get to the dispensational foundation, we're to handle the Word of God accurately. We're to understand how God deals with man over the ages. Now, why is that important? Well, to handle the Word of God accurately, you have to understand how God dealt with man over the ages. How he's dealing with Israel under law. How he deals with us now under grace. What are the changes from law to grace? What are the changes doctrinally in order to that we follow the proper doctrine today, do we take doctrine from Israel and mix it in with us? Are we Israelites? Are we Jewish? The answer would be no, you're right. We are Gentiles that are members of the body of Christ who have the special blessing in Christ called the mystery, which was prepared before the foundation of the world for us, that we would have such a great foundation in Him. Now, when you talk about foundation, there are several scriptures we want to look at. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 47. It says there, Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to him he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream broke vehemently came upon the house. Stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was foundation upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, that was similar to the verse we read previously in Matthew. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth upon. But every man that take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation which can no man lay than that which is laid, which is in Christ Jesus Christ. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are known to strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the house of the God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth in holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, charge them who are rich in this world that they not be high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, which that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Let them store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on to eternal life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying, the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this zeal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You know, when you consider the foundation in Christ, isn't it exciting to know that God laid that foundation before the foundation of the world? It's like you have a double foundation here. God laid our foundation in Christ before the foundation of the world. As we covered last week in the hope of the study of the hope in the church of one body, though we looked at the phrase of the foundation of the world. In doing so, we discovered that the phrase occurred 10 times. 7 of them are used from or since the foundation of the world. And we found that all 7 of these references pertain to Israel and the calling they have in Abraham. There are 3 of those references where those words appear together in a different time frame or emphasis when it says before the foundation of the world. In these 3 passages, we learn about the love of Christ in heavenly places. Now, if we look at those, in John chapter 17, verse 22, it says, in the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In them, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and thou hast loved me, love them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will also that whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, this is a prayer by our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was taken to be crucified. In that prayer, he was speaking to God the Father. God the Son was saying, you love me before the foundation of the world. Now, next in 1 Peter, we find a description of Jesus and his blood being foreordained before the foundation of the world as a lamb without blemish or spot. For 1 Peter 1, chapter 8, verse 18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Well, finally, in Ephesians 1, we see that he has chosen us. Now, this us here applies to the church of the one body before the foundation of the world. Further, we see the same love that Christ received in our holy and without blame, being the same words that were used to describe the precious blood of Christ being a lamb without spot or blemish. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Our foundation was set before the foundation of the world, that we might have all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, when you realize that, no matter what happens here, if you're abasing, if you're abounding, if you're full, if you're hungry, if you're rich or poor, who cares? Because we have it all in his heavenly places, all these spiritual blessings in him. So if we have our focus on that very fact, we're like this. And the enemy is throwing fiery darts at us, and he's trying to get us to go like this. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us up together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been King God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, and who we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, they would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, the four dimensions, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice of God to God for a sweet smelling savor. The love we have from Christ is in heavenly places, and we are there with him right now. isn't it nice to know we're loved? And we have that great foundation in that love that Christ prepared for us. So as a Christian, our foundation is Christ, and He sits in the heavenlies far above all, serves as that one mediator between God and man. For in 1 Timothy 2:5 it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And what we're supposed to do in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And that is our foundation. Praise God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we spent some time today on the foundation that You have laid and that You have bestowed to us, and we are so thankful that we have our foundation in You, and that foundation is like upon a rock. And whatever storm comes, we are able to stand and resist the bad weather, whether it be a calamity in our life or whatever it is. The enemy throws many fiery darts at us, but we know that we are in You and basically have that position where we are really blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So we thank You for that truth and the fact that You have communicated to us through the calling called the mystery. And we pray that we are good stewards and faithful to that calling, and we would be good to basically give that truth to other Christians so they might know how complete they are in You and have a great foundation in Christ Jesus. So we thank You for this lesson, and hopefully it's pleasing in Your sight. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for His sake, amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.